He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
And it is really nice to have Jay back. We're going to let him start off talking about what he's learned after having been away for a few shows about the car world, both in the U.S. and Europe, having been there, Jay, and also about his driving experiences recently on the East Coast, going from north to south and back. And then I will have some discussions about a recent Rivian exploration trip, which has some lessons for the electric car world, in my opinion, that are still relevant, although they are lessening. That is, the concerns are lessening as things get better in the tech world of batteries and charging stations. Go ahead, Jay.
So, yes, I was away for a few weeks, and I was in Europe, but not very long, just a little over a week. I did some driving. But I really don't have much to talk about. I think traffic moves very differently over there than it does here. They have a lot more radar enforced speed traps, even scanners that they put at different parts of the highway, as I've mentioned before. Which it could do here too, by the way, if police forces started working with private companies like the Easy Pass, you could have the same things happen here. Not likely to happen anytime soon. But more interestingly, I've spent a lot of time in the recent weeks up and down the East Coast, and just got back from a trip driving down to Florida last week. And just confirming, there's just so much more traffic on the roads all the time, every day, every hour of every day. Going up and down the East Coast corridor has become a real nightmare.
Can I interject just to ask you, ascribe it to anything, like fewer people flying?
I don't know, because I flew back. I drove down to Florida and flew back, and I think airports and airplanes are jam-packed just as well.
Okay.
People are just on the move. Don't ask me where they're going. I haven't figured that out. But there's just a lot of traffic on the roads. And it brings me to a safety tip right now. I was driving down somewhere along Baltimore on I-95, and it was at a time of day when the sun was going down, and we were heading southwest, and the sun was in everybody's eyes, just like instantly went over a crest, and the whole traffic, all four lanes of the highway, pretty much came to a stop for no other reason than the sun was just right in your eyes.
And, I have to, again, just jump in and say, I had that on a micro scale the other day coming over simply just a regular road, but you have to stop because it is blinding.
Well, I'm going to jump in too, because amen to both commentators. Right around our northwest corner, there are roads that are going in a direction that right now, with the sun on its current pathway, happens to be able to blind everybody, drivers, and it's amazing what drivers do not seem to understand about these window sunshades, because I looked in the back, in my rearview mirror at one as I was slowing down, and there was a man holding his hand over his eyes, and what do you call those things, Jay, up there on the top? The window sunshades were not down, so he was using his hand as if he was supplanting the ability to have something else to use to give him the ability to look, have that shade block the sun, so, and you can actually sometimes set those so that you can see a slit of road without your eyes being blinded, and with the road being visible, so that you can see the road in these cases. But everybody needs to understand that this is going to last for maybe 2 or 3 weeks with the sun going down in its arc on a southward motion, and then it's going to start back up after Christmas is over. And the days start getting longer again.
Can I add something else?
Yes.
Having a windshield washer fluid in the car and having a clean windshield becomes really critical in those instances. If anybody went out this morning and tried to start their car and get in the car without either cleaning, scraping off the ice, or waiting till that windshield was clean, warming the car up and cleaning the windshield, it's the same thing.
And
if you start
just
driving with a fogged up or an iced up windshield, you're crazy.
And we
see that all the time.
And this leads to something you missed, but it was actually Robin's safety tip for last week, is make sure that your wipers aren't just shredded rubber before you even begin
the
process.
Yeah, they actually clean the windshield dry as opposed to streaking the windshield with the liquid, which can enhance the difficulty of seeing as opposed to improve it.
All right, carry on, Jay.
So that's pretty much it. I mean, that's it for my driving experiences. Like I said, more traffic, people, you know, four lanes of traffic on a lot of portions of I-95, and then you get down into the Carolinas, and all of a sudden you find yourself on two-lane each-way highways. And it's almost, although it slows traffic down, it becomes more relaxing to drive because it's just a lot less going on and not people passing left and right. And I plead guilty to that myself, but that's a whole other story.
No, you don't have to admit to anything.
We don't need to go into that.
Right. Robin, before you start, I just have been waiting for almost a month to ask Jay this question. Do you know anything about a car show called Radwood? Jay?
I do not.
Okay.
What do we need to know or find out? We don't need to know.
Well, it's just that it's an old-fashioned, like an old-time car show.
Well, there are lots of those going on. Let me just jump in because I don't want to talk about Radwood in particular.
What?
I got an email from a friend of mine who said it was antique car night, and he was down in Florida, and this was over the weekend. And so there are probably lots of those shows, Jill, named in various ways, where people are bringing out their old collector's cars, anything that's not generally driven in between these shows. And down south, they're a big, popular event to go to. And see all sorts of modified vehicles from cars that can be driven right into the water and become car boats to car planes, even in a couple of instances, and the like. So it's probably a show that's named after something like that. RAD. Short for radical, maybe. Who knows?
Okay, so now that you've told us what you think it is, I will say that this has been going on for the last 5 years. It's a play on Goodwood, which any motorhead knows what is. That's why I was asking Jay about it. So let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. Recently, the car magazines Motor Trend and its sister publication Four Wheeler reported on a major test of the Rivian RIT vehicles, which are all electric, coming to maybe a driveway near us sometime soon, but not too soon. But they are on. They have started production, and this particular event was an 8-day, 1,000-mile event, and the first electric 4x4 to conquer Black Bear Pass. I don't know where Black Bear Pass is. I guess it's, I don't know where it is. But in any event, it's not unlike the Rubicon Trail, maybe. But Motor Trend's version of this particular trip was more comprehensive in the distance, which was, I think, over 2,000 or 2,500 miles, and didn't say anything about the real-world situation of being all-electric and having electric recharge anxiety. Whereas Four Wheeler hit it on the nail in several sections of their summation of their particular portion of the trip, which they joined the Motor Trend staff, but they weren't there for the whole thing. And what is very clear is that the electric pickup truck or off-roader is going to be a really good thing going forward, but what is still very much in their summation is that they sum it up by, the trip proved that with careful planning, electric trucks can be a viable and capable platform for long-range off-road four-wheeling. But careful planning was basically a very important element of the success of this adventure. And they figured it all out in advance. They had to plan where what the potential distance between recharging stations could be so that they would not find themselves stranded before they got to another charging station. And but the Jay has reported on the Rivian being really a great vehicle.
It is a great vehicle. I think the truck got great reviews. The SUV based on that same truck is coming out soon, early 2022, and I think it's going to sell like hotcakes. The only problem Rivian has is manufacturing them. Their goal is still to produce just and only 1,200 vehicles this year. So you're not going to see Rivians all over the countryside anytime soon.
No.
Although I kind of suspect that when production actually really starts, they will be able to scale it, to scale it quite a bit. So I think
they will too. But from the production standpoint, which is always the case with new vehicles, Tesla was included in this radically new vehicles. The most anticipated, probably, new vehicle for 2022, as some of the publications are touting, is the Ford F-150 electric pickup. And Ford, Jay, here we go with numbers, interest numbers versus capability of producing numbers. Ford's got 200,000 reservations, or over 200,000 reservations, and cut them off at the moment. And they are, I don't think they're going to be able to produce 100,000 in the first year. They may be limited to 60,000. Who knows? But this is what's going to go on. It just shows us, and I've been the one really holding back on the enthusiasm level, and Jay's been upfront with it, that the electric vehicle is really coming on fast all of a sudden. We already see a lot of Teslas. They've been around
sure
for, what,
we,
5 years already or 6 years? And we're seeing some Mach-E Mustangs show up. They're getting so much good play that Ford is delaying electric alternatives so they can produce 100,000 or more Mustang Mach-Es at the Mexican plant because they have so many orders they can't keep up with current demand. I find that interesting. I believe it's very successful in Europe too, but I'm not sure.
It is.
I don't know whether you saw them or not around.
Yes, I did see quite a few of them actually. And to go back to your anxiety, your range anxiety, or that seems to be somewhat calming down now over time. Robin, I was thinking about you driving down to Florida. I stopped at one of the two major rest stops in Maryland, and which are totally within driving range of most electric cars leaving from here, from the northwest corner of Connecticut.
Right.
I stopped in one of them, and there were plenty of cars at the gas stations, and there was a whole line of chargers for Teslas, and there was not a single car being charged. And I thought, that's interesting. There was not a single electric car being charged in the whole rest area. But I thought, okay, if you're driving down to Florida in a Tesla, you could make it all the way to Maryland, and you can obviously charge and not have to wait in line. And then I don't know where you stop down, probably in one of the Carolinas or in Georgia would be your next stop. And I'm sure you can find, you can find some charging stations. And I was also thinking, you drive 3-4 hours, you need to take a break anyway.
But how long a break? That's my thing. It's like if I want to run in, I'm sorry, I turned into the person that you hate to travel with about 30 years ago. So I do make frequent stops, but they're pretty quick.
Well, I am also similar. My attitude is, I want to, if I got to make 800 miles in a day,
I
don't have time to have a relaxing 30 to 45 minute stop while my electric car at this juncture and at level might have to be charging to get me to the next charging station, only somewhere between 200 and 300 miles from the last charging station, to wait another 30 to 45 minutes. That's why I've been the way I've been in these shows. But not many people are like maybe you and I, Jill. I don't know how long people stay. Jay, you don't stay very long at a rest stop.
20 minutes.
Yeah, 20 minutes. So that won't get you to 300 miles of charging right now with most cases.
No,
I don't know about the Tesla superstations. They might do it. But the Electrify America stations or whatever that are out there, that's the other thing that's going to have to technologically advance. They either better be putting in these stations that can be ramped up with electronic updates without having to replace the stations physically themselves, to higher capability charging speeds as the technology improves. Otherwise, they're going to be putting in stations that will be virtually obsolete within probably 2 to 5 years in terms of capability of charging faster than the current stations are. I know it's all about the costs. It's like batteries. If you buy enough batteries, you can go further. If you pay enough for the charging stations, a friend of mine has put in 4 charging stations at a Hyundai dealership that he is building a dealership building for. 2 of them are high capacity, and 2 of them are slower capacity, and the cost is $125,000 for those 4 stations for that particular dealership garage. And if that's any evidence of what they're going to cost on a national basis, it's going to be a very costly situation to electrify America.
Well, I'm going to weigh in here with one of my, what Robin will consider an out-of-left-field statement, and we will see. Time will tell. And I will say that there is, I'm willing to bet that there is already technology, and that if we extrapolate from what exists right now, Robin, you would be right, but when we find out what's actually been going on, it may be far less of a an issue than it currently appears to be.
I think we need to have our co-host Jay get hold of an electric car and drive one of his full north to south quick trip and turnarounds.
He would
in
do
one
that
so that we could get a firsthand accurate experience about that exact topic.
Okay, but I am going to say that he would do it and he would make it work because he would. And, you know,
he'd at least tell us whether he had to wait 35 minutes or only 10 minutes to get to another charging station.
Again, under current circumstances.
And our listeners are just raptly listening to this part of the show, so let's not languish too much on it.
Well,
Let me talk about the Mustang E-Mach, because there have been 2 cases of where the Mustang E-Mach has been either tested and or has gone into service, and I don't know why a 2-door, I think they're only 2-door, aren't they, Jay, or are they 4-door?
No,
a Mustang E-Mach would make a good taxi, but one is on the street in New York, yellow, apparently. The other situation with the Mach-E was being tested for was for state police use, and the fallout from those tests has said that there needs to be some significant alterations to the interior of the car to make it suitable for police use, probably the situation with what police have to wear and how to fit stuff in a rather curved body and roof line as opposed to a square roof line, which would be more capable of being functionally appropriate for police use work.
Yes,
so I don't think we're going to see a lot of Mach-E police.
And we all know that
police, Jay, we're going to not probably see too many Mach-E Mustangs being used, except for maybe pursuit vehicles, only on highways in the near future.
Well,
now you can jump in.
Well, I was going to say police forces are somewhat conservative, and we all know that they some police forces, when the Crown Vic went out of production, police forces around the country started buying them and stocking them up because they did not want to go nor to the Taurus. Or any other vehicle for that matter. And 10 years later, police forces have adapted. You see here in Connecticut, you see a lot of Tauruses or Tori. I don't know how you
or Tori.
But they're now out of production, too, for police use.
The plural of Taurus. You see a lot of them being used in police forces around the country, and police forces have adapted quite well to them.
But they are preferring
by far the Explorer
configuration.
There's some pushback, but there will be other electric vehicles in the future anyway.
And
there
are going to
be electric SUVs. I'm just talking about the physical shape of the Mustang E-Mach as not being highly suitable, at least in this one article I read about the results of the testing. And I think Michigan police are one of the first police forces to test new police vehicles, at least as I've read over the years, to see what is functionally suitable for them to choose when they are replacing fleets of police vehicles.
All right, so guess what, Robin? You didn't mean to, but you read my mind, because one of the things that I am hearing, and we will have to wait to see if this is true, is that initially the SUVs will still be regular petrol.
Okay,
all right.
That may be true.
Just throwing that...
Ford's coming out with an electric Explorer when they can make enough of... have enough production area to make it. I think that's one of the E vehicles that's on delay now because of the success of the Mustang Mach-E.
Go on, Jay.
I think in the meantime, we're going to see great success from Hyundai with the new Ioniq 5 that has just come out. I've seen it in Europe. I have not seen it on the streets here in the U.S. But
a first delivery was made to a Ioniq 5 owner, I think somewhere in the West, over the last 5 days, and it was touted in Hyundai's news lines as having happened, and the guy was an electric vehicle enthusiast, and other members of his family owned electric vehicles. So I think that's going to be very popular. And the headline on today I saw in one of my areas of sources was that they're going to produce that vehicle and cost it at a price that's going to theoretically make it fly off the shelves. We'll see about that.
Yeah, pricing is out, and it's cheaper than what was expected. And Hyundai is still eligible for the $7,500 tax credits, which we all know that in recent days the whole idea of future tax credits is pretty much up in the air right now. So
yeah, and with the recent failure of the president's trillion-dollar bill failing to pass, that's what you were talking about, because buried in that bill was an increase of potential credits for some vehicles up to $12,500 if they were produced by factories that had union employees and were in the U.S.
Well, let's just pretend in fantasy land that electric vehicles were affordable, like truly affordable, regular affordability. I've been asking this question for weeks. What would you grab? Would you still grab a Tesla? Like, if cost weren't an issue, what would you grab?
And Tesla is an example of success. They are no longer able to give you $7,500 tax credits, and their sales are just going along just fine. Thank you very much.
Well, there's a lot of money out there.
I've said on this show before, I don't think tax credits are really needed on the long term to get everybody to go into electric cars. The prices are the big thing, of course, and that would cut out a lot of people in the lower income levels from being able to afford one, maybe.
Gee.
But I still don't think we need tax credits for electric vehicles.
Go on, Jay.
About inexpensive or cheaper electric cars, I don't see any right now. I mean, I think that all these cars are not... Even the Ioniq 5 and other smaller cars that are on the market right now, Hyundai has, the Kona? One of their small electric car. The prices start in the high 30s, okay?
Correct.
But our
prices for fossil fuel cars are averaging in the high 30s now. They used to be 32.
P.S., my question, now we are down to 20 seconds. My question is, in fantasy land, when they are affordable for anybody, what... Jay, is the first electric car you would buy?
Today?
A Bolt.
A Tesla Model 3.
Okay, and Robin?
Probably a Tesla.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.